Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. Lieberman's trailing Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman in a tough fight with challenger Ned Lamont, who has been leading in the polls. Lieberman is now trailing with 48.3% to Ned Lamont's 51.7%. That is with 73% of precincts now reporting. Lamont leading in the pre-primary polls after blasting Lieberman for his support for George Bush in the Iraq War. If he loses, Lieberman has till only tomorrow afternoon to file papers if he decides to try to get on the ballot as an independent candidate. In Georgia, Congressman Cynthia McKinney trailing in the very early returns in a runoff for the Democratic congressional nomination in her district. The State Department today said they see no sign Iran will go along with the United Nations demands to halt its nuclear program. The Security Council passed a resolution last week giving Iran till the end of August to suspend enrichment of uranium. If it refuses, Iran could face economic and diplomatic sanctions. Council members are concerned Iran may be trying to use the material to build nuclear weapons. Today, a State Department spokesman told reporters Iran has been doing a lot of talking, but there's no evidence they intend to comply, he says. After a run of interest rate increases over more than 2 years, the Federal Reserve today decided to leave a key interest rate unchanged. The rate-setting Federal Open Market Committee voted 9-1 to leave federal funds rate at 5.25%. In the statement announcing the decision, the Fed said economic growth has moderated, and while readings on core inflation have been elevated in recent months, pressures seem likely to moderate over time. This decision by Chairman Ben Bernanke and the colleagues on the Fed brings a halt to the longest unbroken stretch of Fed interest rate increases in recent history. The central bank nudging the federal funds rate up by a quarter point at each of 17 consecutive meetings. Forecasters are saying this year's Atlantic hurricane season might not turn out quite as bad as originally thought. The two federal agencies that monitor hurricanes say they're expecting as many as 15 named storms and 7 to 9 hurricanes this season. That's down one from predictions made back in May. But the director of the National Hurricane Center warns coastal residents not to relax too much. Remember, he says, one hurricane in your neighborhood is enough to make it a bad season. So far, there have been 3 tropical storms and no hurricanes, but the August to October period is considered the heart, the worst of the hurricane season. This is Air America Radio News.
Good evening, truth seekers. Mike Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. This is primary night. In a lot of states, we're going to be talking about some of these primaries as the results start to come in. Also, a little bit later tonight, Alex Jones, documentarian and radio talk show host, is going to join us for a bit. Right now, Jonathan Tessini joins us from New York City. Jonathan, as you know, has been on this program a couple of times. He is running in the September 12th primary in that state against Hillary Rodham Clinton for the United States Senate. Jonathan, welcome to the program again.
Pleasure to be back, Mike.
What's your take so far? I'm look on the Lamont Lieberman race. I'm looking at the Hartford Courant newspaper, and in refreshing the page over and over again, it looks like Lamont is starting to pull ahead just a tad. Is that the take that you have?
Well, I'm looking at 76% of the precincts reporting, and it's pretty tight. I mean,
well, I've got 79.95%.
Okay,
and the numbers I have: Ned Lamont 114,165, which is 51.75%.
Right.
Lieberman 106,428, which is 48.25%.
Right. It's still pretty close, and because they don't have exit polling there, we're going to probably have to wait a little bit longer to know. The polls have tightened considerably in the last couple of days, and I think what you're seeing, at least in the numbers, is a testament to that, that for whatever reason, Lamont was ahead by 13 points about last week, but for whatever reason, voters started rethinking it, or, you know, there were all sorts of issues flying back and forth. It's going to be a tight race, and my perception is that because it's going to end up tight, I mean, even if Lamont wins, it's clearly not going to be by three or four points. Lieberman will run as an independent.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that in a second. But a lot, or if not most, if not all, of national commentators, especially on television, are saying that if Lamont wins, it's because the voters are tired of Joe Lieberman supporting Bush's war policies. I happen to disagree with that. I think Lieberman, if he is defeated, it's because he supports President Bush on damn near everything. What's your attitude about that?
I'm along with you. I mean, I think that the anti-war sentiment, there's no question that has fueled it. And similarly in my race. And I think without the Iraq War, I think it would be difficult for anybody to have mounted a challenge to Lieberman. But if you add that to Lieberman's support for Social Security privatization, his support for many, many pro-corporate policies like NAFTA and so-called free trade, I'm with you. I think that he certainly has been one of the worst Democrats when it comes to supporting not just Bush, but generally Republican policies.
Do you think the conservatives or Republicans have mobilized for Lieberman? I have heard that all of a sudden Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh think the sun rises and sets in Joe Lieberman's back pockets, and this is the same guy that 6 years ago they were calling as a loser man, as a sore loser man. You know, now all of a sudden he's some sort of political water walker, but do you think the Republicans are having an influence in the voting booths?
Well, ironically, that may have went the opposite way. There was a wonderful video that was posted which spliced together all the comments of Ann Coulter and Hannity and the people you mentioned in one video, all these people speaking highly of Lieberman. I don't think that helped him. I think that may end up have hurt him with that if the race is this close, with a number of Democrats that would have said, I mean, anybody who's being praised by Ann Coulter is no friend of mine.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Republicans who cross over and vote in a I don't know if you have that situation in Connecticut. Here in Georgia, you can cross over, even if you're a registered Democrat or Republican, you can cross over and vote in the other primary. Now, what that means is in the runoff, if there is one, then you have to vote in that party's runoff. But do you have that in Connecticut?
Oh, well, I'm in New York, and in Connecticut, they had, I believe, until noon yesterday to switch party affiliation and become independents, particularly, or even Democrats. And there was some feeling that there were a lot of people. The Secretary of State said there was a huge number of party registration switches, but there was some feeling that a lot of those votes were people switching to the Democratic Party to vote for Lamont. Mm-hmm. They were independents that wanted to vote against Lieberman. But, you know, all this is guesswork.
Sure.
It'll be interesting to see what happens now in presumably what will be a three-way race, how that shakes down, whether Republicans will actually try to replace the weak candidate, I believe, Alan Schlesinger, I believe is the name, who was polling at 9%, and try to find a stronger candidate, hoping that Lieberman and Lamont would then split the Democratic and independent vote.
Each one of these races, of course, is totally unique to its area, its political area, as is yours in New York. So I don't think that it's wise to draw any conclusions from a race that happens in Connecticut as to what's going to happen in your primary on September 12th. But there's the but. If Ned Lamont wins this by a close margin, which if he wins, it'll probably be a close margin. Do you think that's going to have an effect on your race against Hillary Clinton?
I absolutely do, and in this respect, I think what this shows is Democratic voters are ready to hold accountable Democrats who voted for the war, supported the war from the beginning, and continue to argue that the war is a good thing. Remember, back in February, Ned Lamont was polling at about 13%, and Joe Lieberman was up by 50 or 60%. That's precisely the number I'm at. Once people started focusing on the race and the issues got joined, particularly after the debate between Lamont and Lieberman, the race closed very quickly because all of a sudden people focused on who Joe Lieberman was, and that's precisely the case here in New York. Voters do not know in New York where Hillary Clinton stands. She's been great at obfuscating her position on the war, the fact that she supports the death penalty, the fact that she supports so-called free trade. I mean, she says NAFTA was a good thing. If I can get her into debate, and that's a question, she's trying to avoid that, I think we're going to do very, very well.
What is? Do you have polling now, Jonathan, on your situation against Clinton?
Well, the poll that came out just a week ago put me exactly at the same number that Ned Lamont was at, 13%. That's with far less money. I mean, I hope Ned Lamont wins, but we need to remember that Ned Lamont was a multimillionaire
right.
and was able to spend $4 million of his own money in this race. I'm not a multimillionaire. We've been raising money in small donations from people. That they can give at the website, TicciniForNewYork.org. So that still is clearly a challenge, the ability to have enough of the resources to get out there, to advertise. That was an advantage that Ned Lamont had. But in terms of polling, we're doing very well. And more important than what my particular number is, what's fascinating to me is what people think. I've both seen this in the street. When I've been shaking thousands of hands, people want a choice. Very few people said, I support where Hillary Clinton stands. Some people like her because she has celebrity. And the same poll that showed me at 13% said 62% of the Democrats would vote for a person who opposes the war. 9% said they'd support someone who supports the war. Hillary Clinton supports the war. And it's simply the fact that most voters don't know that.
That's a good point. The Hartford Courant now is with 81% of the precincts reporting in that Lamont-Lieberman race. Lamont has 51.7%, Lieberman 48.2%. So that margin is holding. It's about 8,000 vote margin in favor of Ned Lamont, Jonathan. Lieberman has said he will run as an independent. And won't support the ticket. The ticket, of course, would be Ned Lamont. What happens if Hillary defeats you in the primary? What are you going to do?
Well, you mean, am I going to support?
Yeah, will you support the Democratic ticket?
I have said publicly a couple of things. Several things. One is it's a little premature to say that. I think we have to show that we're a much more significant threat. Number two, I want to know what my supporters are going to want to do.
Right.
It's not just about me. It is about a movement that we've tried to build. And, you know, my intention is to really reach out and hear what my supporters want to. Personally, you know, I got into this primarily because the war, if she does not change her position dramatically on the war, I cannot support her.
I hear you. Jonathan, let's get together on this program before September 12th. Thanks for sitting in tonight for a couple of minutes. I appreciate it.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
All right, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jonathan Ticini. It's TiciniForNewYork.org. Check it out. Let it fly.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Oreck XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Oreck XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too?
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yeah, this is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the.
Yes! Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime. We'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
21 past the hour. The other race I'm particularly concerned about is the one here in the 4th District of Georgia, the primary. Cynthia McKinney, the incumbent, against Hank Johnson, her challenger. And right now, with about 34%, about a third of the precincts reporting, Johnson is leading 60% to McKinney's 40%. The sad part is here, Hank Johnson is a decent man. He's a Democrat. He is on about the same same page as Cynthia McKinney on all of the issues, except for the fact that Hank Johnson pretty much will do what he is told to do by whomever tells him to do that. Now, I don't mean that to be as snarky as it sounds, but it's the truth. This is a guy who he's been a county commissioner, for God's sake. He's really doesn't have a lot of experience. Cynthia McKinney is a voice in Washington that several factions, political factions in this country, like to see silenced. And I don't know. We'll keep you posted on that one, too. By the way, you can get instant results on that if you want to by going to WSBTV.com, WSBTV.com. Go to the election or the politics page and just keep refreshing it, and it'll keep you pretty current. WSB, like boy, TV.com. If you want updates on that. Let's do a couple of phone calls here. Coming up in a few minutes, Alex Jones is going to join us for a little while. Dana is calling from New York City. Dana, how do you pronounce it? Dana?
Hi, it's Dana.
Hey, Dana. Welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Mike. We wanted to just ask a question. What would happen if we ended up with a 49-49-2 layout in the Senate after the midterms? You know, somehow Lieberman managed to keep his seat as an independent, and we ended up with nobody with a full majority in the Senate.
Well, there would be an awful lot of politicking for what's his name, the guy from Vermont. I'm drawing a blank.
Jeffords
and Lieberman. If it turned out that way, Jeffords, I believe for the most part now votes with Democrats. And Lieberman would vote, for the most part, probably with Republicans. And as long as this Bush crime family is in power, the deciding vote in a tie, of course, would be in the Senate, would be decided by Dick Cheney. So you know how that's going to go.
But, you know, but constitutionally, no one could be appointed as the majority, you know, the majority, because there's no numeric majority.
Well, once again, the you're assuming that there'd only be two people running. Wait a minute. There would be a Democrat and a Republican, obviously, running. If it came down to an absolute split vote, then once, like any vote in the Senate, it would be up to Cheney to decide to make, you know, decide the who would be the Senate Majority Leader. I think that's how it works.
Well, it's definitely worth looking into. And the other question I want to ask is, when here in New York, when the network moves over to the new station, are you going to be back on the air in New York?
I don't know. I have not been told yet. If I am not included in the move, then I'm going to have to rethink some things about radio. So I at this point, I just don't know. I cannot get an answer from management at Air America. So I'm as much in the dark about this as you are. And by the way, it really pisses me off, but there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, hopefully they'll have more wisdom than they've been exuding lately.
Well, we'll see. All right, listen, thanks, Dana. I appreciate you checking in. Mike is calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good. I'm glad. It's an honor to be on your show.
No, my pleasure. So, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to mention that Drudge is reporting Lamont the winner. I don't know if you're aware of that or not.
No, I'm not. I keep checking the Hartford newspaper, the Hartford Current, their website, and what they're reporting now, and it's changing every couple of minutes. But what they're reporting now is pretty much Lamont is holding about a 9,000 vote lead, and that's remaining consistent, with 84% of the precincts reporting. Lamont has 51.8%. Lieberman has 48.1%. If Drudge is reporting Lamont winning, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but good for Drudge. I, you know, the guy makes me sick, so I don't ever go to that website ever.
I understand. I understand.
but you know, he may be right. You know, a stopped clock is right twice a day, right?
Well, that's right. Well,
okay.
I listen to you on streaming audio since I took Air America away here in Atlanta.
I know, yeah.
And I tell you, the drive time has been pure hell.
Oh, it's awful. It's awful here in Atlanta.
I'm subjected to, you know, Bortz at lunch and Hannity on the drive home.
I'll tell you what, all you need to do is get XM satellite radio in your house, your car, and you can listen to your heart's content. Hey, Mike, I got to leave it there. We got a break coming. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in. Take care, okay? All right. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
26 before the hour. Thanks to everybody who emailed in to let me know that Jeffords is retiring and Bernie Sanders, the independent slash socialist, will be running for Jeffords' seat. And I believe Sanders is running against some billionaire who just sold out or sold a healthcare scum sucking company. I have no idea. But anyway, Bernie Sanders will probably be the senator from Vermont, and Sanders will not ever, under any circumstances, vote with Republicans. So I guess that answers the question of how that would go if the split comes the way the caller suggested. Alex Jones is joining us. I think most people know who he is, the radio talk show host, documentary filmmaker, and author. We asked him to be on after we had Webster Tarpley on. Alex is only going to be here for about 25 minutes. We're not going to do another 3.5 hour long marathon. But this is the man who put together the 9/11 symposium in L.A. earlier this month that you all have seen on television. If you want more information about Alex Jones, go to Infowars.com. Infowars.com. Alex, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Hey, Mr. Malloy. I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I appreciate what you're doing to fight the Bush crime family, and it's great to be here with you.
The last person who called me Mr. Malloy had a subpoena in his hand. Hey, listen, Alex, I want to talk about the forum you put together, but I went to your website tonight, and you've got that George Galloway interview with the Sky News, the Murdoch Sky News reporter, and I watched all 9 minutes of that. That is a real, what's the word I want to say here? That's a real eye-opener. Good for Galloway.
Oh yeah, it's a barn burner. You know, he's got a lot of criticism even from the left, and I think that's wrong. I think Galloway overall is doing a great job exposing these criminal wars. But 9/11 is so important because everybody in their guts knows the official story is a fraud, and the evidence is that we've been lied to on every major point of what happened on September 11th, and it is a foundational event, a central plank to everything that the neocons are doing domestically with the police state, what they're doing militarily, globally. Their whole agenda is based on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you've talked about this ad nauseum. When you look at PNAC documents and even Brzezinski's documents, and they're talking about how we need to have a new Pearl Harbor to mobilize the people, then you find out that the hijackers were trained at U.S. military bases. And we've got the deans of the Defense Language School going public saying they were forced to train them in spy training. We've got mainstream news articles at MSNBC about them trained at military bases. We've got the heads of embassies saying they were flagged as terrorists, and they were got calls from the CIA saying, let them in. That's just their cover. They're really part of an anti-terror training op. We have the insider trading by the CIA-connected companies in the days before 9/11 against American and United at record levels. We have the public officials getting calls from the White House not to fly. We have Bush massing tens of thousands of troops in the months before 9/11 around the country of Afghanistan and having a launch order to start the war with Afghanistan on his desk 2 days before. All this is on record. But then you look at Cheney in the White House bunker, in control, ordering the stand down. You know, the plane's 50 miles out, it's 30 miles out, it's 20 miles out. We know it's 5 miles out. We know that he was in control 2 months before 9/11. He took the power that generals and admirals have always had since NORAD was set up to shoot down hijacked jets that will be used as weapons. He took it away from them and then withheld that power that day, and even the new tapes given to Vanity Fair even prove that. In fact, it buries the government even further. And then we look at bin Laden being a known CIA asset, being given $6 billion back in the 80s, being funded by the U.S. government to go after the Serbs, being coddled there to basically take the blame later for 9/11. But really the big smoking guns are the CIA running drills of flying hijacked jets into the World Trade Center and Pentagon, Mike, on the morning of 9/11 to confuse NORAD and the other good compartments, the majority of people that are in our government. And on the 7/7 bombings, we saw the government running drills as a smokescreen, going back, of course, to many other terrorist events throughout modern history. Governments use drills in case their operatives get caught staging the attacks, as Putin's people were caught in 99 planting bombs in a fourth apartment building. And when Moscow police caught the Federal Security Bureau planting those bombs, hexagene plastic explosives. They were told, oh, it's just part of a drill. Well, it's the same thing on 9/11. We have the government, so NORAD would be confused and believe it was part of a drill until too late. As they say on the tapes, I've never seen so much, quote, real world during an exercise. Is this part of the exercise? Is this part of the or that exercise? Over and over again, this was meant to confuse. And then, of course, we know that 19 individuals who their flight instructors said couldn't even get Cessnas off the ground, couldn't hit three of their four targets, 75% of their targets, with total precision, when so many airline pilots and fighter pilots and many others are on record, documenting that some of those maneuvers that we witnessed would be very hard for the most seasoned fighter pilots to actually execute.
Given all the information, well, let me ask this, because I want to get to a specific question here about the drop down of Building 7. You have been, I think, the leading advocate that that building was brought down deliberately. I believe also you're leading advocate that both Building 1 and Building 2 of the World Trade Towers, if I've got them numbered right, also were brought down.
Yes.
With explosives. What all do you base that on? That is a big point of contention with people who say, nah, come on, you're crazy. What is the main issue that puts that issue to rest with you, that those three buildings were brought down deliberately and not as a result of the planes flying into them?
Well,
obviously Building 7 wasn't, but
sure.
The other two.
Sure. Well, I mean, that's what I was going to say is let's go to the last building that at 5:35 that afternoon imploded perfectly in on itself and fell into a neat tiny pile, not even causing any serious damage to buildings, in one case 25 feet away or 24 feet away, the U.S. Post Office, which, I mean, of course, I've been there, I've covered it, as many of you have, I'm sure you have, Mike. Later that afternoon, we have this building, this 47-story building, that housed the CIA, the FBI, the New York Port Authority Command Bunker, Defense Intelligence, the Securities and Exchange Commission. The entire building was a who's who of intelligence agencies, and I mean, even the IRS had an office in there. This was a private building leased out almost entirely by the, you know, high level federal agencies, and most of those were intelligence agencies. We know that, and a FEMA deputy director slipped up and said this on ABC Nightly News the night of 9/11, and then FEMA came out and said, oh, no, we didn't mean that, but later Giuliani had to admit in testimony that indeed it was true, that they had already pulled the command bunker out of there and moved it to the end of the pier as part of a program called Tripod 2 that started on the morning of September 10th. And so they were on the pier that morning already with the command center moved out in a drill of the building being attacked by terrorists, the building being destroyed by terrorists, okay? So there's Tripod 2 going. I forgot that drill. Then you have all the drills, the hijacked jets flying into buildings at the exact same time, too. And Giuliani then tells now deceased Peter Jennings that, oh, he got a call at about 10 that morning and was told, go ahead and get out of Building 7 because it may have some problems. And then he pulls out. Of course, the North Tower collapsed. The official debris fields put out by FEMA and NIST show that dust hit Building 7. A few windows got busted out from some bouncing metal debris. The collapse of the North Tower or the South Tower had nothing to do, but the North was closer, with Building 7 collapsing. FEMA has given five different reasons it fell, and then under scrutiny each time has to withdraw those. They claim an oil tank blew up. They claim that the North Tower hit it. That's ridiculous. I mean, boy, that's Pinocchio. And then they gave a bunch of other reasons, and now they just have to say, we don't know why. Well, we do know why. If we look at hundreds of controlled demolitions, which I have, and I've interviewed and studied and talked to the heads of other major companies, when you blow a building up from the bottom up, you blow the middle central support columns first, so when you blow the outer ring of columns, it's already leaning in, and so the building will fall in on itself and not outward. And we see Building 7 fall at free fall speed, the same speed, the exact speed that an apple will fall. We know that no modern steel building's ever fallen from fire until that day. Three of them did. Building 7 had several small fires on four floors that started around noon and burned again for about 5.5-6 hours. And the building perfectly implodes and falls in on itself. Then you can actually look at up-close video zooms, and you even see the squibs that you see in Las Vegas or anywhere else, the little blast points, because the explosives go off first internally, but will normally blow a few windows, and you'll see an ejection of the gases and some of the debris from the concrete columns that have been severed. You see these ports ejecting as it's happening. Then I talked to New Yorkers, and I did confirm that it was on NPR that day in New York, that the firefighters were saying, hey, it's going to come down. We're going to pull it. Everybody's got to get back. The feds say get back. I did confirm that. And then when we get back, if we've got time, I can tell you, the owner went on PBS and said that they, quote, pulled it, which right. is the demolition term for
right, controlled demolition to bring it down. All right, Alex, we got to take a break. We're going to have a short segment when we come back. And what I want you to focus on, if you don't mind, is what people should do, given the fact that everything that has happened since September 11th, 2001 has been a lie. We'll be right back. Our guest is Alex Jones. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
welcome back. About 10 minutes before the hour. A few more minutes here with Alex Jones. For most of you who listen to this program on a regular basis, you know we had Webster Tarpley on for 2.5 hours the other night and really went through some of the details, Alex, of the many questions and lies put out there about what happened on September 11th. But, you know, Webster is a real talker, so it was hard to get a word edgewise. So I want to ask you something now. What do you think people ought to do who have, from just having doubts about the official story all the way up the line to people who are convinced that the official story is a lie? And that's a broad spectrum of people that probably covers a hefty minority of the American public. What do you think is the best course of action?
Get our heads screwed on straight. When I said I appreciate your courage letting us present this evidence, I really mean it. People should support radio networks and talk show hosts that are telling the truth and letting these ideas on the air. Number two, you shouldn't believe us. You should go check the facts out. And believe me, this is painful to know the truth, but I've looked at the evidence. I've tried to disprove the evidence and the discoveries we've made, but it is ironclad. There's so much evidence. It's an orgy of evidence. It takes hundreds of hours to even go over it properly. It is encyclopedic, but the best place to start is really, I think, at places like InfoWars.com. You know, I have my new film, Terror Storm, posted up there for free. I mean, I make a brand new film. I spent $80,000+ making it. I put it out for free because I want people to see Terror Storm. It's very professional. It's the history of government-sponsored terror. It goes through 9/11, 7/7, both inside jobs. If people will get that film, get it out to their friends and family, wake others up. You can watch the symposium, the part that C-SPAN aired from our four-camera shoot. It's much better. That's on InfoWars.com for free. Or get a DVD if you so desire. We do sell them, and that's how we run this operation. But the reason we've got to expose this is if we don't, the criminals in the military-industrial complex, owned by the big oil companies and defense contractors, are going to continue to stage terror attacks in this country and worldwide to steamroller their police state agenda domestically. And their stated agenda is get a police state in, start taking the pension funds, loot Social Security. I mean, there's already trillions missing from the Pentagon. Mike, I know you've covered that. This is a crime syndicate. We're not just saying that for effect. Mm-hmm. I've been calling it the crime family for 12 years on air myself. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, call it like you see it. We have got to expose these murderers and the people that perpetrated 9/11, the people that had a motive for 9/11, and the evidence shows they did it, or they're going to keep doing it. We've got to stop them before they kill again. And they're using the limited murders they commit that are still massive to murder our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, our beautiful republic, our constitutional democracy. And so, but listen, the worm has turned. Now, mainstream media is more and more being positive, or it's having to address us in a serious fashion, you know, long after you guys did, but, you know, now they're finally having to, or they're turning up the heat with attack pieces, trying to build straw men or focus in on kooky theories that are out there. But Americans have gotten sophisticated enough and figured out they've been lied to enough. They've caught Bush and others in enough lies and his handlers in enough lies where they see through the dirty tricks. And so the worm is turning. The problem is that makes these cornered rats even that much more dangerous, and they've got a lot of tricks still in their bag, a lot of aces they can play. But we've got the troops on our side. We've got the people in government on our side. The polls all show that. People in government are waking up, and we've got the truth, most importantly, on our side. And so the jig is up, the balloon has gone up, and they can, you know, try whatever they want to, but they cannot put their fraud back together again. It has fallen, and it is broken into a million pieces. As all tyrants throughout history have always fallen, I don't know if they'll be defeated this year or next year or if they'll ever go to prison for what they've done, but I know in the short term it will be in the history books that these attacks were orchestrated by criminal elements of black op, black world operatives in our own government.
Yeah, it's I hear you loud and clear. Alex, one last thing. How do folks get to listen to your show? And secondly, I'm going to be on your program this Thursday. Is that
yes,
right?
You are. I should have had you on a long time ago. You know how it is. You want to have somebody on. You go, oh, I'm going on his show. In fact, I have to come on yours. I appreciate it. And I'm going to have you on my own little show.
All right. Now, how do people hear Alex Jones' program?
Well, it's on in places like Knoxville and Kansas City and outside Chicago and Southern California, but, you know, it's really a smattering, Austin, Texas, on KLBJ.
Go to your website?
Yeah, they can go to my website to find affiliates, or they can just listen at Infowars.com. You're on Thursday for an hour, I believe, at noon, Central, Mike Malloy, and I look really forward to talking to you and talking about the great work you've done and talking about the electronic voting machines with you. Look, it's just hoax and fraud after hoax and fraud after just abominable scams. The chutzpah of these people, the arrogance, the hubris, the bravado is just getting so disgusting. I really think they've overplayed their hand. And my other websites have kind of got, you know, confusing long names like prisonplanet.com and stuff, but jonesreport.com is another good site where folks can link through and listen to you on Thursday. And I salute Air America for taking the strong, bold stance they are, getting more and more hardcore when it comes to exposing these evils. And you guys are really supercharging the 9/11 truth movement right now. So, again, I salute you.
Well, Alex, I take all that very humbly. Thanks a lot for being on this program. I'll see you Thursday, all right?
Thank you, sir.
All right, take care. Alex Jones, you know how to get to him. Infowars.com is one way. You heard what he said, so check it out. We're going to take a break here and come back with probably the results of both the McKinney race here in Atlanta and Lamont Lieberman in Connecticut. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy on Air America Radio. Oh, and your phone calls.
America Radio.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
I'm so busy at work, Dr. Phil, I don't have any time ever, and I wouldn't know where to look.
Well, don't just sit around whining about what you don't have. Go out and create what and who you wish was in your life.
Somehow, I knew you were going to say that.
Look, don't dream, do. Don't want, get.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
Radio News, I'm Bill Crowley. Lieberman is losing still. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman in a tough fight with challenger Ned Lamont, who has been leading in the polls before the primary today. Lieberman is now trailing still 48% to Ned Lamont's 52%, with 92% of the precincts reporting in Connecticut now. Lamont's been leading in those polls after blasting Lieberman for his support for George Bush in the Iraq War. If he loses, Lieberman has till tomorrow afternoon to file papers if he decides to try to get on the ballot as an independent candidate. In Georgia, Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney is trailing in the runoff for the Democratic nomination. Hezbollah rockets today continue to hit northern Israel, with some landing in populated areas. Israeli airstrikes also continued on southern Lebanon. Three houses destroyed in one village. A complete curfew is being imposed on civilians in southern Lebanon. A paper warning that anyone found on the road would be considered a terrorist was signed State of Israel. Only humanitarian convoys are allowed to travel during the curfew hours. The U.S. State Department says today a Lebanese proposal to send thousands of troops to southern areas in Lebanon is significant. The troops would police the border area if Israel withdraws troops, a State Department spokesman says. Sending troops would be a necessary step for peace. However, he says talk and actual execution of that idea needs to take place in the context of discussions at the United Nations on an overall approach to the conflict in Lebanon. He says the Lebanese forces would need to be supported by international forces. British leader Tony Blair says he is confident a Middle East ceasefire agreement can be delivered by tomorrow. Blair commenting as he was heading off on a delayed vacation to join his family in the Caribbean. Blair telling British media he plans to keep up his diplomatic efforts by phone. He says it's crucial to get a ceasefire first before dealing with the underlying problem. If and when an international peacekeeping force goes into southern Lebanon, Blair said it's unlikely that it would include British troops. Last month was the second hottest July on record, but it was pretty close. July 1936 still holds the record as the hottest July ever. Back then, the average temperature in the lower 48 states, 77.5 degrees. Last month, with the heat waves, we averaged 77.2 degrees, only 0.3 of a point lower. But we did set a record the first 7 months of this year, the warmest ever in the U.S. for that period. This is Air America Radio News.
about 7 past the hour. We're getting a couple of emails here that Lieberman is conceding. So it looks like that race is over. And for those of you who are concerned about the Cynthia McKinney-Hank Johnson race down here, it looks like Cynthia is no longer going to represent the 4th Congressional District here in here in Georgia. She has the uncanny ability of coming from behind. She has done that before, but there just doesn't seem a way to do it at this point with 87% of the precincts reporting now. Hank Johnson is defeating her by almost a 3-2 margin. So the real story, I think, in the Hank Johnson-Cynthia McKinney race is the fact that when the smoke clears, only about 20% of the possible voters in the 4th District bothered to go to the polls today for this runoff. So, you know, you don't have to be a weatherman to know which way the wind is blowing. You also don't have to be a political scientist to understand that, once again, the American public, at least here in Georgia, I think the total turnout statewide, we had some statewide races here, too, is about 14%. DeKalb County, which is the 4th District, was a little higher. But you don't have to be a political scientist to realize what's going on, and that is most people are just saying, to hell with it, I'm not ever going to vote again. Now, what's terrible about that is here in the South is, historically, this is the part of the country where so many millions of voters were denied the right to vote, legally denied the right to vote, until civil rights legislation was passed. And I don't know. If I think about this too long, it's going to get me all depressed, and I just don't want to get depressed. I'm sick of being depressed. Once again, it looks like Cynthia McKinney is toast in the 4th Congressional District here in Georgia. Now, how that happens is immaterial. You know, a lot of people say, well, the Jews were against her. Well, the white people were against her. Well, blah, blah, blah. Here's the bottom line. When you have 20% turnout, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference who's for you or against you. 20% turnout means that nobody cares. That means 80% of the potential voters stayed home. No invading army is ever going to institute fascism in this country. That's just not going to happen. We're going to do it to ourselves. You know it as well as I do. I had a real crisis again today, and maybe you're having the same thing. The only reason I bring this up, this is not about me. It's about maybe you're feeling the same thing. I was watching both CNN and MSNBC and BBC, the reports coming out of Lebanon, and I just have a question for the Israeli government right now. And of course, I'm a flea on some camel's butt somewhere in Outer Mongolia in terms of my importance to the Israeli government. I don't exist. But I do have the question, and the question to Ehud Olmert and the Israeli military commanders is, how much death and destruction are you going to perpetrate against the people of Lebanon? Seriously, I know you have a real case against Hezbollah, but how many deaths in Lebanon will be enough for you people? You people being the military planners and the government of Israel. I'm just curious. Now, I don't expect an answer because, like I say, I don't exist. But today, I think for the first time, I've been holding this back in my head. And today, for the first time, I started to see the death and destruction being perpetrated in Lebanon. Bombing and rebombing and rebombing neighborhoods and towns and villages in Lebanon. And not just in the southern part of Lebanon where Hezbollah allegedly is holed up, but in northern Lebanon, all over the country, utter and absolute destruction. death of innocents. The death toll in Lebanon now is what, approaching 2,000? And report after report after report says 40 to 60% of those deaths are children. And I just have a question for you murdering sons of bitches who are running the government of Israel. How much death will be enough for you? How much? How many children need to die? What has been very difficult for me to hold back in my head, just to banish the thought, and today I couldn't do it any longer, is the sense I got the first time I read Night. And I've read it two or three times. Elie Wiesel's book about his experience in the death camps when he was 11, 12 years old. And the night he walked by an open pit where they were burning, the Nazis were burning the bodies of executed Jewish children. And how at that moment, Elie Wiesel cursed God. God no longer existed for him. And when I read that, it had more profound effect on me than Treblinka, the book that I read about that death camp, or any book that I read as a young man in my 20s and 30s about what the Nazis had done to the Jews in World War II. That particular scene is burned into my memory. I can't get away from the way Elie Wiesel described that. The stench, the burning children, and the horror to think that there was some enterprise run by human beings that would murder children. It was beyond his ability to comprehend, and he was not much more than a child himself. And I'm certainly no child, but today I started to latch on to that thought and couldn't banish it from my mind. I couldn't do it, I don't know how to react to this. I really don't, because I have been a supporter of the State of Israel in a sense for as long as I can remember, as long as I was conscious that such a place existed. I always hoped and felt that there would be a two-state solution, because in the past 25 years, I also then became a supporter of a Palestinian state. A shame that it has to be that way. Israel being a state based on religion, religious states to me are an abomination. They're vile, because then they can kill and bomb and murder in the name of God. And that justifies everything, not unlike, Bush and the crazies that run this country. But I'm having a real crisis moment dealing with the destruction that the Israeli Defense Forces are administering to the Lebanese civilians. I really am. And I don't see how any American, Jew or Gentile, can support what the IDF is doing. I don't know. If you're Jewish and your contempt and hatred and distrust of Palestinians and other Arab speakers in that part of the world is so deep and so profound that you can excuse the unbridled slaughter of children, then I would think that your God has somehow blinded you and you've decided that it really doesn't matter, that death and destruction is what you're about. Not unlike George Bush and the United States military, slaughter, merciless murder of children in Iraq. So I agree with Noam Chomsky in this moment that the two countries most responsible for death, destruction, and global terrorism on Earth today is the United States and Israel.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Past the hour, if we had a television here that worked, we would take Lieberman's concession speech live, if he's still giving it. But I understand that it's over as far, and it's over for Cynthia McKinney too. So that takes care of the 4th congressional district in Georgia, and the Democratic primary for the Senate in Connecticut. Other races, if they are important, you know, send me a link. Important to you, send me a link, and we'll put some info out there. All right, let's do some phone calls, starting with Martin, who's called in from Boston, Massachusetts. Martin, welcome to the program.
Yes, Michael, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Hey, when are you going to get off this 9/11 thing, telling the audience that this was a government setup? You're misleading your audience.
Hold on a second. I've never said that. I said I don't know. I said I don't believe the official story. Do you?
Hold on, Martin.
I'm going to just move on to another caller. You'll answer my question, and then we can move on. Otherwise, you're out of here. Now, my question to you is, do you believe what the government tells you to believe regarding 9/11?
Yes.
Okay, that's fine. I don't.
I have not
taken a stand on any particular theory as to what happened. What I have said clearly and precisely so that people like you wouldn't put words in my mouth. What I've said is, I don't know what happened, but I don't believe the official story. And the reason I don't believe it is because these evil sons of bitches lied us into a war, Martin. Don't you understand that?
Well, I'll give you that one. I'll give you the
war.
Well,
thank you. Thanks, Martin. Thanks for checking in. No, you give me whatever you want, but we're out of here. I'm going to move on to another caller. I don't like your attitude. All right, let's listen to... Ned Lamont. Let's bring that up, Kathy.
Look.
Send Joe home.
Hey, everybody. When I got into this race about 8 months ago, it was kind of a dream. A lot of folks said, it's an impossible dream. But I'll tell you, we succeeded here thanks to you, thanks to the grassroots, thanks to the net roots. We got students, we got veterans, we got labor, we got small business. We've got a coalition for change. This is a coalition for change. It's starting in Connecticut, and we're going to take it beyond.
This video, audio, I should say, is courtesy WFSB Television in Hartford, Connecticut.
My friend Maxine Waters, she takes... Maxine takes the 6:30 a.m. shuttle up for Washington. We go to the Raging Cajun. We go to a lot of church services. And when I think we're done, she says, now it's time to start knocking on those doors. There's one man I've got to say who knew this race was important, and he knew that we could win before anybody else knew we could win. His name is Tom Swan. Swanee works for working families in this state and this country with every ounce of fiber in his body every day of the week.
All right, what you've been listening to here, and we're going to leave it there. Swan is, I believe, his campaign manager, Ned Lamont, who has... I would call it probably some sort of political miracle. He has defeated Joe Lieberman, who just how long ago was it? 6 years ago, was the Democratic nominee for vice president on the Democratic ticket. So it's an incredible turnaround for Joe Lieberman. And here's a little song for Lieberman. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
What a crazy, crazy party. Never seen so many people laughing and dancing. Look at you, you're having fun. But look at me, I'm almost crying. But that don't keep her love from dying. Misery, cause soon the party's over. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over a Kilgara mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Hello?
Hello, is this Rodrigo?
Yeah, this is him.
My man, listen, it's Josh, the new owner of your Jetta. You traded it in.
Wait a minute, that red 2004?
Yeah, dude, it's awesome. It's just, when I'm driving around in this car, I feel like we're connected. It's just like we're a family, we should hang out. You and me and the Jetta? Do you have an email?
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
6 before the hour. What was that? That music comes from the election of Roosevelt over Hoover. Was that Jesus? No, one snowflake, and I don't mean it in the sense Bush does. One snowflake does not a blizzard make. Ned Lamont, though, is truly a dragon slayer. I understand that Lieberman used his time at the microphone during his concession speech to announce that he is not going to support the Democratic ticket where it concerns the state of Connecticut. No, not at all. He's going to run as an independent, which I think is really a slovenly, egomaniacal, pricky thing to do. It really is. You know, if Lieberman didn't want to be defeated in the Democratic primary, then why did he run? Why didn't he start out as an independent? You know, I'm beginning to wonder now if, in the same manner that a stop clock is right twice a day, if the bumper sticker we all saw back in 2000, Sore Loser Man, if that doesn't apply in this case. Joe, why don't you shut up and sit down? Go do something else. But, just go become a Republican. Run as a Republican against Lamont. You know. I'm sure there's a job waiting for you at Bechtel or Carlyle Group. Go, man. But why don't you leave Connecticut politics alone now? You had your ass handed to you. Oh, well. Ira is calling from New Jersey. Ira, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was going to talk about Lamont Lieberman because I thought the official result would be different. I'm not clear on the kind of machines they have up there in Connecticut, but I don't know. Lamont had a 13-point lead a week ago. I don't know how it came down to be
As close as it did. If the machines were screwy, remember what Greg Palast said, make them steal it. And it's my understanding that over 50% of eligible voters turned out for this runoff and this primary. I guess this is a primary.
Yeah.
And that is unusual. Here in Georgia, we were lucky to have 20% turnout.
Let me ask you, Mike, about Georgia. It's all paperless. Do you think...
It's all Diebold. It's 100% Diebold.
Yeah. I was thinking, the establishment, even the Democrats, let alone Republicans, want to get rid of McKinney. She's affiliated loosely with 9/11 Truth, one of the few people in Congress to have that credential, so to speak. And, she's maverick in some other areas. You were talking about her opponent who said he's basically a good guy, but he does what he's told, Mr. Johnson. But there were, on Cynthia's website today, there were a lot of irregularities reported from the start. Punching one name and the other one lights up. Her name wasn't even on the ballot in a lot of precincts. Her poll workers being harassed by police. She might run as an independent.
At the precinct that Kathy and I vote in, there was no problem as far as appearances go. Like I say, to touch these machines with my index finger pretty much makes me sick. And I wanted to turn around and say to the poll workers something outrageous, but it was in the basement of a church, so I just decided to shut up and take my little I voted sticker and leave. But I don't know about irregularities. I don't know. What I do know is that when the smoke clears, it'll be a surprise if 20% of the eligible voters turned out for this this runoff today.
That doesn't help. The only other question I would have, you might know, down in that area, was there any pre-election polling that predicted one way or another? Pre-election.
Not that I'm aware of. A couple of professors from Emory University, who political science professors, predicted that it would be a close race. And according to what I see in front of me, it was not a close race. It was in the primary. This was the runoff today. In the primary, McKinney got 47%, Lamont got 44%, and a third guy got about 8 or 9%. The indication today is that a lot of McKinney voters just stayed home.
That doesn't make sense, Mike. doesn't make any sense. You know, it's just like the presidential election and the Max Cohen fiasco and some other fiascos with the machines. That doesn't make any sense. She gets 47% in the primary, and she's beaten by 3-2 here where it's not even close. It doesn't make any sense.
I know.
It doesn't make any sense. I think, well, I'm sure there'll be a lot on her website. She might try to challenge it in court. Who knows? I don't know her.
Well, here in Georgia, she wouldn't have an Ice Cube's chance in hell, even through the federal courts, because the federal courts in Georgia are pretty much stacked with Reagan, Bush 1, and Bush 2 appointees. The Democratic Party, and I'm going to piss some people off here, but the Democratic Party in Georgia is essentially dead. There are Democratic Party activists who refuse to bury the corpse, but as far as the Democratic Party in Georgia, it doesn't exist. There are still a couple of Democrats in the Georgia congressional delegation, one of whom I deeply respect, John Lewis, from way back in the civil rights movement. But other than that, the Democratic Party in Georgia is just non-existent. There is no such thing here.
Yeah, actually, what you just said might be true over the past few years somewhat on a national level until this thing in Connecticut tonight. That might wake a few people up.
Well, I hope. I certainly hope it does. But we have the curse of Diebold machines here, and as long as these abominable machines are in play, there's no election that I would feel secure that it had turned out the way the voters had planned. Hey, let me leave it there. Thanks, Ira. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate it, okay? All right. You have a nice evening. Bruce is calling from Ventura, California. Bruce, welcome to the program.
Hey, buenas noches, Miguel.
Hey, back at you.
Listen, I just calling about Joe Lieberman, and I don't know. I can't imagine understand this guy, you know, why he's so into power that he can't understand, you know, like you said, which way the wind is blowing, you know. I mean, obviously he's lost. What in the hell, why doesn't he just get out?
Well, with Holy Joe, it's almost like he's afraid he's going to be unemployed. Remember when he ran with Gore, he refused to give up his Senate seat then.
Right.
He held onto the seat because he figured, well, you know, if we lose, I've always got a job. I think Holy Joe's big fear is that he'd be unemployed. I don't know that Joe is into that much power. I really don't. He just seems kind of like a Harvey Milquetoast to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I understand that, but it seems like he's got some sort of an egomaniacal type of approach that he has to be. You know, it has to be him. And
well, you're probably right with that. Yeah.
I don't know. Got time for a comment on 911 or no?
Sure, go ahead.
The other day, you made a comment one day that Ed Schultz was a Republican, and I kind of like, you know, what are you talking about? Well, the other day, he was, right after they aired the C-SPAN show, I watched it, and Ed, I happened to listen to Schultz, and he was over there just ragging on Webster Tarpley. And going on and on about how ridiculous it was that the hijackers were still alive, you know. And so, you know,
that's not Webster Tarpley saying that. That's the BBC.
I know. I sent him the link on the BBC. I quoted it on the air.
Right.
And he's telling me, so you're telling me that the guys that were in the plane are still alive? And I said, no. I said, but we misidentified him, you know. But the whole point of his whole diatribe was that he was, you know, it was ridiculing.
Well, that's an asinine question, and I hate when somebody who should know better, whether it is someone like Ed Schultz or anybody, when they make an asinine question like that. So you're telling me that the hijackers that were on the plane are still alive? That's a half-witted asinine question.
It is.
No one who was on any of those planes is alive. That's a given. Now, who was on the planes? Who in the hell knows in terms of the hijackers? I think we know the passenger list. I don't know how they could spirit away a couple 300 people off four airplane flights. I don't know. But to ask a question like that indicates to me that Ed Schultz's mind is slammed shut tighter than a door and on a submarine. He just doesn't want to know anything. And that's fine. A lot of people use that's the way they cope with something that would scare the hell out of them if they took a look at it. I'm not saying believe all this 9/11 conspiracy stuff. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying at least have an open mind and do your own investigation. Schultz won't do that.
Well, I spent years studying the Kennedy assassination, and so for me, it's an easy leap to see the government in action. You know, I probably read 50, 75 books on the subject and started writing my own book on it. So,
You understand, and I think most people, I don't know why people want to believe that a government that lied us into a war that so far cost the lives of 150,000 people is going to tell us the truth where it concerned what happened on 9/11. That part, to me, just doesn't compute. Hey, got to move on. Thanks, Bruce. I appreciate you
checking in. Bye.
All right, you have a nice evening. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Fly across the water. 1 in 10 never coming back again. 50,000 sons who never grew to fathers. Don't you ever wonder who the mind of man?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, 3 lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's Sony Card. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
is good enough.
It's about 9 before the hour. I have an email here from Jan. Mike, I'm sick at heart and sick at soul for what the criminal gang running Israel is doing in my name. With blessings and bombs sent by the Bush crime family, Israel is wreaking havoc on a largely defenseless country. I cannot stand it, and I want to scream. I want to scream at every American and every Jew who supports these terrible war crimes for which neither Israel nor the United States will ever be forgiven. Today, the Israeli Luftwaffe strafed a Palestinian refugee camp where many Lebanese had taken refuge and where the Lebanese implored the Israelis to let them put a bridge across the Litani River so that humanitarian aid could be delivered. The vile Israelis replied that if the bridge is built, they will bomb it. Israel and the United States have brought a river of death to the Middle East, and there is no way that either country will be able to wash away their crimes. These are days that will live in infamy. As a Jew and as an American, I hang my head in shame. Jan, in the last name. Jan, I hang my head in shame right alongside of you. This is from Doug. It is no coincidence, perhaps, that the Bush bastards want the death and destruction perpetrated by Israel and Hezbollah to run its course. It is, as a matter of fact, causing the price of oil to rise. Along with predicted discontent in Nigeria, now British Petroleum has jumped into the fray. Prices rose $2 at the spigot on Monday for crude. As information becomes disclosed about BP, we learn that these BP bastards have, as did the mining industry, total disregard towards safety and maintenance over previous years, as opposed to maintenance and attention to safety. Now they have just another convenient excuse to gouge oil prices and rape the taxpayers. I hate these bastards beyond word description. And then this one. This is from Stephen. Mike, I met you in Sacramento at the convention center several months back. My wife and I, both attorneys, are the ones who put up a soldier display on our home that said, Bush lied, I died, and took a lot of right-wing flack for it. Cindy Sheehan lives with us in Berkeley. I hope some of this might ring a bell. The reason I'm emailing you is because I keep hearing about how support for Hezbollah and Hamas is growing exponentially in the Arab world. But what Bush and company and people living here in the U.S. also need to realize is that support for Hezbollah and Hamas is also growing right here at home. In fact, now I support Hamas and Hezbollah, and I completely reject the notion that these are terrorist organizations. The terrorist organizations are the State of Israel and the United States. I will support any group that is composed of people who will risk their lives to defend their civilian populations from the kinds of criminal slaughters that Israel has been inflicting upon the Lebanese and Palestinian people. Right now, Hamas and Hezbollah are the only organizations that the civilians in Palestine and Lebanon can rely upon to protect them. Now, at this point, when I say that I support them, I mean that I hope that they prevail. I realize that it's unlawful to give money or other material support to these organizations. But if it weren't, I would. I must say, however, that Israel's actions have been significantly incentivizing me to go even further with my support. I suspect that I'm not alone. In fact, at a Sacramento anti-occupation demonstration that I organized last Saturday, many people, including me, carried signs with Hassan Nasrallah's photo and Hamas flags. This would have been unheard of 3 months ago, but the shift is occurring right here in the United States, and I guarantee you it's not just in Sacramento. In San Francisco and Washington, D.C., this coming Saturday, thousands will gather to oppose Israel's flagrant civilian slaughters. My wife and I will be at the demo in San Francisco, and we'll be there to voice our support for Hezbollah and Hamas and to criticize Israel to its core. If the Bush administration thinks that this campaign of bombing civilian centers in Lebanon and Gaza will eliminate supporters of the Middle East's two most highly respected defense-oriented organizations, I wonder whether they will eventually also feel the same way about San Francisco and New York and D.C. and so on. What I have noticed in the past 10 days, the Israeli attack on Lebanon has been going on now for 4 weeks, and what I have noticed is a phenomenal shift in attitude regarding what's going on in the Middle East, a shift away from blind 100% support for whatever Israel does, whatever the IDF does, and an attitude of that justice has to prevail, that Hezbollah and Hamas and the Palestinians and the Israelis, the killing has to stop. It has to stop. But that Israel is just absolutely out of control. To punish a civilian population like this is so Hitlerian, it makes me literally ill, sick to my stomach, to think that this is going on. And to think that the United States government is doing the same thing, where it concerns Iraq, where it concerned Afghanistan, where it possibly will concern Syria and Iran. We have some insane, bloodlusted warmongers who are now running two countries that had the potential to truly, truly light the way, Israel and the United States. And both of them have now turned into purveyors of utter, absolute global terror. Jesus, I hang my head with you. Trust me, Jan.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. A meeting at the United Nations to discuss ending the fighting and creating an international peacekeeping force for southern Lebanon ended without an agreement Tuesday. Acting Lebanese Foreign Minister Tariq Mitri wants the Security Council to take note of his country's desire for an immediate Israeli withdrawal. Israeli Ambassador Dan Gillerman said Israel will withdraw only when Hezbollah has been disarmed. An Israeli withdrawal is not mentioned in a UN draft resolution by the United States and France. Lebanon and the Arab League have called that omission unacceptable. A British petroleum pipeline in Alaska has been shut down for repairs, and an oil industry expert at USC in Los Angeles says that will deprive the world of about 400,000 barrels a day. Professor Charles Cicchetti says that leaves very little spare oil on hand to cope with any future crisis.
We're down to about 800,000 barrels a day of spare capacity. So this is literally half the world's spare capacity. That means the ability, if there's more problems in the Middle East, of production in the Gulf, for the world to absorb those kinds of hits is essentially been cut in half.
He says the government is expected to release some of its strategic reserves to help offset the loss. Nevada Senator Harry Reid is calling for the resignation of Veterans Affairs Secretary Jim Nicholson. Reid's condemnation of Nicholson came after another computer containing sensitive information about thousands of Pennsylvania veterans went missing from the office of a government contractor. Nicholson said the latest disappearance involving a VA computer is being thoroughly investigated. A 17-year-old Metro Atlanta high schooler is being held without bond after authorities found a cache of weapons in his car when he came to school Monday. Robin Cottrell, a straight-A student, told authorities that he wanted to be able to assist police in the event of a Columbine-style attack at Whitewater High School in Fayette County, that's just south of Atlanta. Fellow students such as Jeremy Moon think Cottrell was fed up with being bullied.
He went through so much stuff last year to make him feel that way. And then coming back first day of school thinking, oh, I don't want to go through another year of people doing this to me.
A carbon rifle, a switchblade, and a sword were among the items Cottrell allegedly brought to school. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Thank you.
Welcome back, 7 past the hour. This is Air America. Let's go back to your phone calls. Charles is calling from Connecticut. Charles, welcome to the program.
Dude, liking stuff, hi.
Hey, Charles.
I'm so pleased that Lamont got rid of Father Lieberman.
Right.
But I have to say, I'm surprised that it was allowed to go through, because it seems that some shenanigans went on with some computers. Never mind the Vatican site from Joey, who probably didn't know how to plug in the computer. But I believe the computer in Connecticut that reads forth the tallies, suddenly that goes down. And I thought, well, they just started shifting it around. And the where I live, political news is, if it's not for Air America, you wouldn't know what the hell is going on in the world. I mean, there's absolutely nothing here. It's just the local cable station. And they tend to, about the literally 70% of the time, get the weather wrong. And they're talking about what the outcomes seem to be, and it's not matching the scroll.
Really?
And the scroll suddenly, because I have a friend who is a state rep, who I helped him win, and now he's an incumbent, and suddenly his numbers vanish. And I hop around the dial trying to get somebody who knows what the hell they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And across the board, all the commentary seems to be, well, you know, Joe Lieberman is really strong for this, and he's done wonderful for the state. And said, out of 50 states, we rank 90th in getting anything sent to us through his wonderful work.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have that much against Senator Dodd, but you'd barely know the man's awake.
Well, guess what? The problem that Connecticut had, or that some of the voters in Connecticut had with Mr. Lieberman, are temporarily suspended. Now, since you live there, what do you think is going to happen when Joe runs as an independent? Which vote is he going to split? Is he going to split the Democratic vote or the Republican vote?
I think he will split the Republican vote, because I know this one woman, and it's because of a personal relationship that she had. She had owned the only family-owned and run military contracting company in the state. And she wanted to sell, and she was determined, I'm not going to sell to anybody who's going to fire these employees. And Lieberman did help her get a contract, so she felt obliged. Other than her, I have found nobody, and this is strangers, who have absolutely nothing but contempt for the man. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to do with just the war. It goes back to when he stood up in the 90s and said, Bill Clinton's able to get an erection. He needs to be punished. And everything else that followed. So this was the war was the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. But when they talk about, And you know, with Joe Lieberman against the Republican, it shows that Lieberman would strongly defeat him. Well, the same poll shows that Lamont would as well. But the neglect to say that.
Yeah, yeah, it's I hear what you're saying. Charles, let me move on. I have miles to go before I sleep here. Thanks for checking in, pal. An email from John. He says, I had hoped that Clinton and Biden supported Lieberman in exchange for the agreement that if he lost the primary, he would bow out gracefully. Guess it didn't happen. He accepted the help of the Democratic Leadership Conference heavies, then flipped him off. Nice guy.
That's kind of like Bush promising to fire anybody in his administration that had anything to do with the leak of Valerie Plame's identity.
Yeah, right.
I guess that's because, like, he'd have to fire himself first.
I just, I'm curious as to whether or not, or let me rephrase it. I'm curious as to how many people listen to this program, if you like picking up the phone and calling tonight, if you see what happened to Lieberman as an indication that Democrats are sick of being jerked around by these Republican light, Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden types. And I include Biden because, you know, he talks a good story. But when the rubber hits the road, Biden is as much a Democratic Leadership Conference, a DLC Democrat, as Bill Clinton was, as Hillary Clinton was, as, you know. But I just wonder if this is an indication that the Democratic Party is going to try to field candidates who are not suck-ups to this Bush crime family. Now, if that's the case, there is one hell of a purge coming in the Democratic Party. And, you know, we've talked before about the dangers of a purge. Not that I'm against it or in favor of it. I would like to see the Democrats, people with D's after their names, get control of both the House and the Senate so they can remove this evil bastard from the White House. But then the Democratic Party has to be purged too, because there are so many people in the Democratic Party who have no business being in the Democratic Party. They would be much happier being in some either the Republican Party or some half-assed Republican light organization. They are not Democrats, and they should stop putting D's behind their names and running for political office. They simply are not. Come on. That's not because I say it. It's because it's a fact. And you know who they are. And they are legion, especially in the U.S. House. There are so many Democrats there that ought to get the hell out of the party. Go somewhere else. Go pollute something else. But get out and stop fooling people. And there's a clutch of them in the Senate, too. I am so sick of these Democratic senators who, no matter what the Bush crime family submits for their approval or disapproval, judges or cabinet appointees or whoever it is, and the Democratic senator, oh, well, okay, we really don't think that Alberto Gonzalez is a Nazi. Okay, we don't really think that John Roberts or Sammy the Fish Alito are really going to tilt the court far, far to the right. We really, really don't. Well, if you don't, you're dumber than a sack full of doorknobs. What do you mean you don't? Of course you do. It's because you're cowards. It's because you're not Democrats. Get the hell out of my party. Whoops. It's so irritating. It's so irritating. And when this slaughter in the Middle East began, and to watch every one of these bunny rabbits just running as fast as they could to find a microphone to declare their undying love and support for the state of Israel, no matter what Israel did. Bomb Lebanon, bomb the hell out of them. Kill all their people. Blow them to pieces. We support you. Oh, hell yeah. Now, where's my campaign contribution? This is sick.
You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
About 21 past the hour. back to your phone calls. WhiteRoseSociety.org. It's Ben Birch is checking in from Elgin, Illinois. Ben, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Mike. How you doing?
Doing fine. How are you?
Just fine. Just sitting here online tonight talking with my friends on DemocraticWarrior.com and decided to give you a call.
Well, welcome aboard. DemocraticWarrior.com?
Yep.
That's. I think that's a new one on me. DemocraticWarrior.com. All right.
Yep.
We'll definitely check it out.
Anyways, I know exactly why Lieberman's running as an independent.
Why is that?
Because he can't stand to see his seat fall into Democratic hands.
Oh, aren't you a little imp tonight?
Well, you know, I mean, the man, you know, it quacks like a duck.
Yeah, I know.
It's got webbed feet like a duck.
Yeah.
It waddles like a duck.
That's right.
So, you know, I'll call him what he is.
Call it a duck.
He's a Republican.
He's involved in so many right-wing front organizations that most good Republicans, and I put quotes around good Republicans, are involved in, as to render his membership in the Democratic Party totally meaningless. Interestingly, before the campaign began between these two, Ned Lamont said if he was defeated, of course this is back when he had 13% approval rating, but he said if he were defeated, he would support the ticket. And Lieberman never said that. And now this weaselly old fart is going to run off and run as an independent, which I think shows the respect he has for the Democratic Party, which is zilch.
Well, he has never been any more of a Democrat than Lyndon LaRouche has.
That's true, too.
And in fact, you know, I think he and Lyndon may have a good deal in common.
LaRouche may be more of a Democrat.
Just slightly.
Right.
But that's my take on it. You know, he's only doing this to be a spoiler. He knows he's not going to win, and you know it's a scorched earth tactic on his part to run as an independent and nothing else.
Yeah.
He is a defeated, bitter old man, and he's going to take down that seat with him.
You may be right. I just hope that that Lieberman's candidacy as an independent doesn't screw up the hard work that Lamont put in to giving the people in the state of Connecticut a real Democratic senator. I don't know how Lamont's going to vote. I have no idea. But and I'm very leery of campaign rhetoric. But I didn't hear anything from Ned Lamont on this program or in his ads or reading his website or looking at literature. I didn't see anything that caused me to feel, okay, this guy's just another snake, like so many Democratic candidates or office holders. They're snakes or chameleons, and I didn't get that impression from Lamont. So
Nor do I.
I
think he's the real deal. I think he's very sincere, and you know, and I think that he's going to do a great job. You know, and I think we can fill the Senate up. You know, we can win back the House, we can win back the Senate this time if we have a mind to do it. You know, I really think, for example,
that's the key though, Ben. If we have a mind to do it, I don't know if you're listening to the program tonight, but we had a 20% turnout here in this runoff election in Georgia, in DeKalb County. I think the entire state of Georgia will be lucky to break 15%.
We need to take a play from the Republicans' rule book. If you can't bring out your base, demoralize the other's base so they do not vote. Okay? This once we have to play that game.
Slash and burn.
The other thing we have to do is convince people like the DCCC to fund folks who need funding. For example, they refuse to fund John Lesch until Lesch has taken in $250,000 on his own.
Wow.
And you know, the kind of grassroots campaign we are running here in his district,
mm-hmm.
if he took in $250,000, he wouldn't need the DCCC.
Yeah, well, the DCCC and so many of those Democratic headquartered operations are still just heavily polluted and corrupted by the Democratic Leadership Conference. And they're going to remain so for a long, long time.
The real thing here, and Carol Kay pointed this out in some email today, it's the primacy of the Democratic strategy consultant. There is this kind of snake that has infested the Democratic Party, and that is the strategy consultant, the campaign consultant. These people have never actually won an election, but they are full for a price of all kinds of advice for what you should do and what you shouldn't do to run your campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are universally wrong, and we need to throw them out on their ears.
I hear you. I hear you. Ben, thanks. I appreciate
you. Take care, sir.
All right. Take care. Appreciate you checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Liberals need to take responsibility. They can't run and hide. Pissed us off, so we voted for Republicans. A form of suicide. Republican side!
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
We'll be right back.
David Sirota, who's been on this program, as you know, and has the book Hostile Takeover. At Working for Change, the Sirota blog writes tonight, it's time for Joe Lieberman and his friends in the Washington establishment who distrust Ned Lamont and ordinary voters to acknowledge that Ned is now the Democratic Party's nominee for U.S. Senate, and that we as Democrats undermine our nominee's credibility at our party and our democracy's peril. Thanks to Suzanne in L.A. who sent that to me. The quote of the night, it's so true. Let's see what happens tomorrow morning when some of the Democratic Party's leading lights can now make comments about what happened in Connecticut tonight. Here's an email from Malka Jacobs. My family and I are in the process of moving to Israel. In Hebrew, it is making aliyah. The impassioned hatred you and some of your listeners have for us is deafening. For I believe in two things: that Israel too has a right to exist and defend itself when it is attacked, and that Hezbollah has no interest in establishing a Palestinian homeland or protecting the civilian population. Hezbollah exists to destroy Israel. They exist to destroy Israel, killing every Israeli and every Jew. Israel did not start this war. If I ever find myself in a bunker under attack by those bastions of civility, peace, and tolerance, I will think about the night you and your listeners wishes that my family and I die. Well, Malka, like I said in the email response to you, what a sad email. And as I also said, my heart does bleed for you. If you are so eaten up with your own feelings and confusions, why project that onto me? I have made it very clear what my position on this god-awful war is. And if this is what you take away from what I say, then why are you listening to this program? It'll just piss you off even further. Good luck in your travels. I hope you are not in a bunker. But if you are, it will have no more to do with me than it will have to do with anyone else. It has to do with the policies of the state of Israel. And it has to do with the reaction of those organizations that have come together in response to those policies. All right, back to your phone calls. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hello, Mike. I had an experience tonight that, well, just shows what an idiot the Republicans are, but that's not what I called about. I have in front of me a copy of Isthmus, which is supposedly an alternative newspaper, but it's just totally, I mean, in a supreme bit of irony, I mean, more than a decade ago, they wrote a story about whether, you know, I mean, about how most Americans didn't believe the official story on the JFK assassination.
Right, right.
And now here they are. They are saying that you and me and anyone who doubts the official story of 9/11, well, appropriately, well, they don't mention Lyndon LaRouche, but they're basically saying that we're in the same league as Lyndon LaRouche, you know, and these people who believe in the face on Mars and all this other silliness.
Okay. Hey. Well, Matt, this is a very traumatic experience for the United States, as was the assassination of John Kennedy. These rushes to judgment about what happened, these decisions, well, this is what happened, are always, I feel, so swift in order to calm down the masses so that we don't all panic, and they usually turn out to be absolutely not true on a fundamental level. Now, that's all I can say about that. But I do, if you have something else to say about it, go ahead, Matt, but I want to move on here as quickly as I can.
Oh, yes. This same newspaper mentioned They mentioned Air America only once, and I mean, ironically, the only mention of you, the idiot author said that, the author of the piece said, well, I turned off when Mike Malloy kept calling Bush a moron, and I'm thinking, Bush is a moron, you idiot!
I hear you, Matt. I hear you. All right, I got to move on. Thanks,
okay,
Matt.
I'll see you later.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. Gene is calling from New York. Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. Thanks for your patience.
You know, for guys like me who treat politics like sports, this is basically the opening day of the season, and it was great to see the Joe-mentum turn into Joe-nertia on opening day.
Joe-nertia.
You bet. And Nedelman's victory sends, I think, two big messages. Number one, Democratic candidates are going to win if they stand with the great silenced majority of Americans who are against Bush and his Iraq war.
And if people will go out to vote.
Yes. And that's the number two thing. I think they do want to go out to vote because anti-incumbency is in the air. There's a definite throw-the-bums-out feeling out there. Apparently, a Michigan Republican congressman has lost his bid at the primary level. So we have not one, not two, but three incumbents out. And on top of that, Tom DeLay announced that, yes, he is going to stand down. And he might back a Republican for a write-in candidacy, but basically...
Hello?
That's the way that goes.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Can you hear me?
I lost you there for a second, Gene, right after you said Tom DeLay may back a Republican in
his
place.
Yeah, for Biden candidacy, which I think is ridiculous. It's not going to work.
Okay. All right, we're losing. You're breaking up completely, Gene, so I'm going to have to leave it there. I'm sorry. I'd like to hear what you got to say, but your cell phone is breaking up. Joel is calling from Miami. Joel, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Thanks, Mike. Mazel tov on the show tonight. You're terrific.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I just want to say also greetings from the 9/11 Truth Movement. That hopefully tomorrow we'll be heading into a terrific new phase of the. I guess you call this Martin Luther King, Gandhian type of flyering. You know the movie World Trade Center, the Oliver Stone?
Yeah, yeah, right.
It's opening up tomorrow.
Right.
And for one reason, according to the websites, that it's highly recommended is because they do show, although the story itself is not so much about the 9/11 truth. They do show the Building 7, the actual footage of the Building 7 collapsing.
Hmm.
So from that standpoint, whereas the 9/11 Commission did not even mention it, and of course, who would want to mention that a 47-story office building completely collapsed into its own footprint, afterwards showing up with molten steel at the bottom, who would want to show that when you're saying that that this was the buildings are collapsing as a result of planes? No plane hit Building 7.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now also take into account talking about molten steel. Just one last zinger in that, and that'll be it.
Okay.
I don't want to go on with this. Steel melts at 2,800 degrees Fahrenheit. Think about that.
Right.
Just like ice melts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
These planes, these jet planes, use kerosene. Basically, it's just about the same as regular kerosene. There might be a slight alteration, refinement for jet use. That achieves at its highest possible ultimate conditions of burning 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
So, without having to have a PhD or anything, we can realize that it was impossible for burning jet fuel, for the fires from burning jet fuel, is 1,000 degrees short Fahrenheit.
Absolutely.
Huh?
Absolutely.
right, of being able to melt steel. And yet, melted steel is what we've got. You've got them on tape. Witnesses say, in front of firemen.
Well, you know, this is the reason. I don't know what I believe, but I do not believe the official story. There is just a chunk of evidence after chunk of evidence, whether it is true evidence or speculation or circumstance or serendipity or irony or somebody's wild imagination. There is enough there, Joel, that I just absolutely do not accept the official story. Joel, I have to leave it there. Thanks a lot, pal. I gotta go. I'm sorry. I appreciate it, Joel. I'm sorry, but we're just flat running out of time here. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
What's more important to you, a better looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
hopeless feeling, like I need a hole in my head. Give up my whole day's wages to get this hole in the wall. I call a holster that is empty, just a gun to the head.
It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to our crew tonight, Justin Yuen and Andrew Dunn, who engineered the program in New York, assisted by David Weissman, who answered your calls. Also, our senior correspondent, Chris, our webmaster, Mark, White Rose Society, Ben, and Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Richard is calling from Long Island, New York. Richard, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Some time back, I had sent you a packet on picking these hijackers up. I don't know if you recall it. But to answer, I don't know if I'll be answering the question, where people are saying some of the hijackers were recognized as being alive elsewhere.
That was reported by the BBC, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the identities of the photos that the FBI had released also had included the their identities, their visa identities.
Right.
And reviewing those that information, it was incorrect. They didn't match up with the people that that we had, you know, the height, weight, and age, and was all different. And so the FBI had stopped using the identities because they were stolen identities. And also, a short time after the attack, CNN had interviewed a couple of the real individuals, like Zayed, the real Zayed Jarrah. He had said he worked in a jewelry store and he's never been out of the country. And I forget what the other one, with the other interview. But the photos that the FBI had shown, those were the people that we had picked up.
Okay. All right, Richard, I got to move on, and I thank you for checking in, but I got to go. I got to go. Tim is calling from San Diego. Tim, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just want to, you know, thank Joe Lieberman for his service to our country, but he's going to be fine. People shouldn't feel bad for him. He's been long connected, made his connections over the years, and don't forget, sports fans, he along with Lynn Cheney, they've never broken up their sealed deal with the kiss. It wasn't just the first kiss with George Bush, but you know, he and Lynn Cheney, they've got this American Council of Trustees and Alumni, which is all about mind control of, you know, the young minds in our colleges around the world, or around this country.
Yeah.
So Joe's going to be fine. People shouldn't feel sorry for him. You know, it's not a perfect world, and this, you know, he lives in the Old Testament, and it's you reap what you sow is the bottom line, and I'm sure he can face the mirror. He's a man, so it's time for us to move on.
Well, I certainly don't disagree with that.
He's not a dead horse. He'll be fine. We haven't seen Dick Cheney around for some time now, and I wouldn't be the least bit surprised. It's just about time for his doctors to say he can't complete the rest of his vice presidency, which allows George to appoint Jeb, and then George is out in a couple of years, and Jeb runs, and then lo and behold, you know, Joe Lieberman, loyal to the Republicans for the most part, he gets appointed Secretary of State. Surely if Condi is qualified to be Secretary of State, Joe Lieberman is.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say Cheney resigns and Bush appoints Lieberman vice president.
Well, know, maybe in Joe's world, but I don't think that's reality.
I don't either. Hey, listen, thanks for checking in. I got to leave
you. Great show, Mike.
All right,
keep up the good work.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. George is calling from Las Vegas. George, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike.
We have about a minute and a half, pal.
Yeah, okay, listening to everything that you said. First off, Building 7 was intentionally demolished. The owner of the building said it was. Okay, there's no question about that. Dan Rather interviewed him, and he said it was intentionally demolished. But that's not why I was calling. Did you see the Galloway report on Star News when they interviewed Galloway about the Israeli conflict?
Yeah, I saw it tonight.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, it's not right you on? Can people can find it at YouTube. It's a 9-minute interview that's just
yes.
astonishing.
It was excellent.
Yeah, it was.
And when he talked to that, you know, the woman that was interviewing him, he said, "What a stupid question." I mean, he's the first person I've seen to do that.
I know.
To challenge the stupidity of these
Oh
people.
Yeah, he just let the interviewer know that he had
right.
absolutely zero respect with what Murdoch's network was running as
right.
news.
Exactly.
And her line of questioning, how
right.
asinine and stupid it was.
Yes,
and
right.
and prejudiced and bigoted.
That's right. Yes.
Hey, I gotta leave it there. Hey, listen, thanks George. I appreciate you checking. I'm sorry we have to cut it off so quick, but we gotta go. I'll see you tomorrow night. I got some real interesting hate mail here that I'll share with you tomorrow night. I'm becoming someone who wants all the Jews to die. Oh, my God, you people are sick. I swear to Christ you're sick. Or swear to somebody. I don't know. I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Watch your back, okay? This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. Or I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.